Holy Spirit, come. Enliven your word. Enliven it so that we understand it better and so that we can apply it as we live into it in the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. Me too. What I'm going to do is I am going to read Luke 12:32, which is the text for the day. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I just read it one more time. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So I just wanted to live into being Discovery Church just for a minute, and part of that idea of being Discovery is that we're looking for something. We're trying to make a discovery. And part of that, I think, in general, many discoveries are born out of curiosity. So I'm going to try to spark your curiosity a little bit today and say, when you hear that text, I'm wondering, are there any words or phrases that stick out to you? Is there anything that in your mind leads you to say, I wonder something about that text? In a few moments, Mary's going to read it all in context. But just as I'm going to read it one more time, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Is there a word or a phrase? Sharon? Pleased. Yeah, it's when we're pleased, it's almost hard not to be smiling. Thanks for that. Yeah. Anybody else? Or an I wonder question? Yes. His kingdom is for us all. Yes, and nothing is impossible. Thank you. Anybody else? An I wonder question? Or just one of the words that stuck out? I'll give you one of my I wonders. Whenever we say a word, we emphasize certain syllables. Whenever we say a sentence, we emphasize certain words. I guess I'm wondering, when Jesus said this, I'm assuming it wasn't monotone, he actually probably emphasized certain words. And I'm just wondering, we may never know, but did he emphasize certain words? I'm curious. Anybody else? Okay. In a moment, Mary will read that whole thing. One more thing, kind of this approach, is an interactive approach, is a little bit of a Discovery Bible Story type of or study type of an approach. And oftentimes it starts with, I wonder, and it can end with, I will. In other words, how do I live into this week? So as Mary's presenting what she has studied about this, I want you to think about that a little bit. It's possible that she, at the very end of this, would say, did the Holy Spirit prompt any of you to say, I will? Is there an I will that you just feel like, oh, I can't escape this one? The Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and I need to live into that this week. Okay? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Is this Mike? In an answer to your wonder, I think, Bruce, I think Jesus crafted every word very carefully. I think every word in this passage was crafted carefully by him. So I will read it in context. So I'll read Luke 12:22-24, and it will be on the screen, or you can use your Bibles or your devices, or listen with your ears. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And here's our verse that we'll concentrate on. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The very words of God. Thanks be to God. I have to clear my voice. Sorry. All right. So when I was thinking and praying about what to preach on this week, I had this first pop in my mind. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. But when I read all of the verses around it, I was a little bit like, well, I can't preach on all those things. It would take too long. And can you just preach on one verse? So, because I had been thinking about it, I wrote it on the bottom of an email that I had sent to some of my pastor friends. And I received this email back. And this email gave me confirmation to preach this verse. So I wanted to share that with you. This morning, this was what my friend said. This morning, as I was driving to an appointment, I was praying. And the Lord dropped into my mind the verse, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And then I got to the doctor's office and I sat in the waiting room and I read a email that I get from a certain, a ministry I follow. And at the bottom of that note was the verse, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And he said, then I went home and I opened my email and I got Mary's email. And at the bottom of Mary's email said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And he said, therefore, I think the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So I'm going to unpack that today, word by word. Discovery Church, clearly these are Jesus' words spoken to his 12 disciples in their context about 2,000 years ago. But equally clear to me is that they speak to us. Discovery Church, a little flock of Jesus' followers in our context today. Luke 12:32 speaks of the nature of God. As Sharon said, he's pleased. He loves us. He's not a God who is out to get us or punish us. He's a God that loves us. It's a verse about what makes God glad, what he delights to do, what he loves to do, what he takes great pleasure in doing. First, Jesus commands us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, or do not fear, or fear not, are the most repeated command in the Bible. In fact, it's been said there are around or even more than 365 fear nots and do not fear and be not afraid variations in the Bible, one for every single day of the year. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, a temporary fear response has some place in the face of certain risks that we face in our world. Maybe we have some fear about what happened yesterday in Iran, in Israel, and all of the things going on in the world. However, being afraid and worried, identified earlier in the passage, imply a state of being. They are emotional, physiological states that consume our thoughts and actions. And Jesus recognizes in the context of this passage that persistent fear and worry are often rooted in what we lack, or what we're holding on to tightly, what we have accumulated in response to our worry about our physical needs, right? He said, what you will eat and what you will wear. He offers this: trust him. Trust God. He knows your needs, and just as he cares for the birds of the air and the flowers in the field, he cares for you. He says, trust God, be generous. Do not hold too tightly to what I have given you, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Stepping back and looking at this passage in its entirety, there is another fear that's being addressed here. It's the fear that we do not follow a loving and grace-filled God. Have you ever had the thought, God is basically irked with me? He's ill-disposed and angry with me? He's requiring me to follow arbitrary rules that I never seem to get right? Do any of you have that image of God in your mind? I recently read the book The Presence-Centered Life by Bill Elliff. Very good, I recommend it. He gives an example of when he was teaching at a church retreat about how God longs to be in close relationship with us. And he often states in this book these words: his presence is our greatest need, but our presence is his greatest desire. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to say that again. His presence is our greatest need, but our presence is his greatest desire. He's not irked with us. He longs for us. He longs for us to be in relationship with him. So at this retreat, Bill Elliff was pointing out lies that Satan whispers in our ears, statements like, God doesn't care about you. God does not want to be with you. You know, God just barely tolerates you. With what you've done, how could God allow you in his presence? Lies, everyone. In the past, how many of you feel that God just barely tolerates you at best? And over half of the room of these Christian leaders stood up. Quiet soberness fell over the room, and tears and repentance followed. Satan's big lie had been exposed. Do you feel that way at times, that God just barely tolerates you? Let's not fall prey to Satan's lies. We combat Satan's lies by renouncing them and replacing them with the truth. The truth is, God's love for us is perfect, deep, tender, and invisible. Disciple John summarizes the Bible's promise to fear not in 1 John 4:11 and 18. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The very words of God. We fear not because God's perfect love drives out all fear. Believe it? Let's just say that. God's perfect love drives out all fear. To love him and to, God draws near to us. His desire is for us to be close to him, to love him and to receive his freely given love. Isn't that beautiful? So, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus calls us his little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. It's a term of endearment. Consider the word little. Little, if we think of it, implies small, weak, maybe tender, perhaps like a vulnerable child. But God says, I will use all my power to take care of you because you are precious to me. So little flock carries the connotation of affection and care. It also implies that God's goodness is not dependent on our greatness. We are little. We are a little flock, little in size, little in strength, little in wisdom, little in righteousness, little in holiness. And if God's goodness depended on our greatness and holiness, we would be in big trouble. But it doesn't. That's the point. Remember again the words that Lonnie read in Psalm 23 at the beginning of this service. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. A flock is a reference to sheep, right? And I've studied this about sheep, and they're really dumb. And they really need a shepherd, and they need the shepherd to care for them, because left on their own, they die. They fall over and stick their legs up, and they can't get righted, and they get bugs, and it's just horrid. They need a shepherd. And we also need a shepherd. And Jesus is our good shepherd. The one who tenderly and lovingly cares for his flock. He leaves the 99 to go after the one. Isn't that beautiful? What if we might be that one? What if someone we're praying for might be that one? He leaves them all to chase after them and carry them back. The shepherd holds his sheep tenderly as he whispers in their ear, "Do not be afraid. I love you." It's one of my most favorite images of Jesus and the sheep. Just focus on that for a minute. Well, not quite a minute. He loves us. He holds us. We are his precious little sheep. We remember that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Does he do it begrudgingly? Does he do it under constraint? Does he do it because Father God said, you have to do this? Obey me under all circumstances? No. Jesus did it because he wanted to. In John 10:18, we read, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus willingly gave his life for his sheep. The Father did not begrudge the gift of his Son, and the Son did not begrudge the gift of his life. It is the shepherd's good pleasure to give the kingdom to his flock. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Your Father. Jesus did not say, my Father. He could have, right? Lots of times he said, my Father. And in this careful pursing of words, he chose to say, your father. Your father helps us get rid of the fear that God is distant, impersonal, and ill-disposed to us, that he is begrudging in his generosity or constrained in his kindness. He calls God your father. So if the king of the universe is our father, we are heirs of his kingdom. Father God does not begrudge his children coming into their inheritance. He gives the kingdom to his children with great pleasure. He is our father, and if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the kingdom to those who ask him? Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Has been pleased, or some translations say his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure. He is pleased to give it. God's joy and desire, want and wish, hope and pleasure, gladness and delight is to give the kingdom to his flock. Think of the joy and pleasure you may feel when you have found, or better yet, handmade a special gift for someone. The anticipation of giving it to them brings you great delight and joy. God is that excited to bless us. He is giddy with joy to give us his kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He gives it to us. We don't take it from him. It's not bartered. It's not bought. It's not earned in any way. The only way to have it, and the easiest way of all, is to receive it like a little child. Luke 18:17, Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. When I think of giving or receiving a gift, I think of handing something over to someone or receiving something in my hands. If our hands are full of other things, we cannot receive the gift. Bruce, after 45 years, you finally learned my love language is gifts? I can't receive it until I get rid of the junk in my hands, right? And we give that to God in prayer. Thank you, dear. I receive it. I receive the gift. So in this box is actually gifts for all you all, and these beautiful flowers. So gifts for you to go home with. So I'll let you open it and see. It's from my dear friend Esther. Gave a lot to give those gifts. The passage clearly says that if our hands are full of persistent fear and worry, it will hamper our capacity to receive. God's kingdom is free and generous gift from God the Father to his little flock. Are our hands full of other things? This would be something good for you to take home and pray about and ask God, what do you need to lay down? What are your fears and worries? Shame, a misperception of God, idols. We release these things to God, and we leave them with him, and then we can receive. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What does he give us? The kingdom of God. To prove once and for all that it is not only his good pleasure to give, but he's pleased to give big. He's giving us his kingdom. What does it mean to be given the sovereign rule and reign of God? King Jesus is giving us sovereign rule and reign with him. It means simply and unspeakably that the omnipotent rule and authority of the King of the universe will be engaged forever and ever on behalf of the little flock of God to spread the good news of his kingdom in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our city, to all those we come in contact with, right? The good news of the gospel of Jesus and around the world. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now read this also from the Message paraphrase. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. In summary, God tenderly and lovingly cares for his little flock, replacing fear and worry with his kingdom purposes. Let me say that again. God tenderly and lovingly cares for his little flock, replacing fear and worry with his kingdom purposes. Today, we look head on to big changes in our little flock. I know there is anxiety, worry, grief, and concern about the future. We continue to grieve the loss of our pastor Paul, and we grieve the loss of what Discovery Church once was. We are grieving over upending of doing decades of shared ministry together, and we worry that relationships may be damaged or fade into the past. Some are wondering, where will I go? Some are wondering, what will it be like if I stay? Some are wondering, will there be enough? Fill in the blank. Listen, little flock. 2,000 years ago, there were 12 disciples. 12 disciples followed Jesus wholeheartedly. It was a little flock. Jesus invested 3 years in them as they followed him. Their lives were being upended, and the upending had really only just begun for them. Jesus acknowledged their state of persistent fear and worry, and he invited them to lay that burden down and to open their now empty hands to receive from their Father the gift of his kingdom. And Jesus used those 12 fully devoted disciples to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they changed the whole world. Little flock of 12. And he invites us, little flock of Discovery, to do the same today. To lay down our burden of fear, worry, grief, shame, and anxiety so that he can lovingly fill our now empty hands with the gift of his kingdom. What will living into that kingdom look like specifically for you going forward? I believe God will reveal that to you. Pray faithfully. Listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit. You may talk with me at any time or others in this church family. Look for where God is at work and join him there. Do not worry and be anxious about material blessings. Your supply is from the Heavenly Father and his kingdom. That passage that I read ends in verse 31. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. And then the last verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now I ask you to stand for just a minute because you've been sitting a long time and you've heard it many times. Let's say it together. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Amen. All right. You may be seated, and then I'm going to pray for us. Right? Father, we thank you for your deep, deep love for us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to show us the way. Thank you for giving us your word to show us the way, to illuminate our way, to bring us into truth. Thank you, Jesus, for freely giving your life for us. Thank you for taking all our fear, worries, anxiety, shame, grief, and all of our sin upon your cross. Thank you for replacing it with your perfect love that casts out all fear. Thank you for replacing all of our bad stuff with all of your good gifts. Thank you for freely giving us the gift of the kingdom of God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for equipping us with the gifts and fruits of the Spirit that we need to make your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us, Jesus, as we follow you as your disciples, to take hold of your kingdom, to boldly rule and reign with you in your kingdom as you have called us to do. Teach us, Jesus, how to be disciples and how to make disciples so that your kingdom will spread all over this world. We lift up to you today the need for peace in our world. As there is much fighting and war, where the kingdom of darkness appears to be winning, we thank you that because of the death of Jesus and his resurrection, the kingdom of God wins. Help each of us to cooperate with your Spirit in bringing peace to everyone we meet, everywhere we go. And Father, we pray for each person here today, as well as those on the live stream. We pray your peace to permeate our souls as we focus on you and not focus on what is evil. Bless and keep all the marriages and all the children represented through the families gathered here. We thank you that you are doing a good work in them, and you will bring to completion the work you have begun. Bring all of our children and grandchildren into saving relationships with you, Lord Jesus. May we all shine brightly the love of Christ everywhere we go. And please join me now in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.